You know, I mean, after watching the film, it was a lot like I thought it was, you know, after the game, that we had way too many breakdowns, played undisciplined football at times, meaning, you know, when I say undisciplined, I mean our eyes not in the right places, not handling our responsibilities. And it was one of those days where it was just, you know, like, you know, we've talked about a lot. You got to have 11 guys doing what they need to do. And we just had, it wasn't just one position in particular. It was here, there, different guys taking their turns. And at the end of the day, you know, my approach is I take responsibility for it. And that's the way I always have been. That's the way I always will be. That, you know, we didn't play well enough to win. You know, and the sad thing is at the end of the day, we didn't play very well. We still had an opportunity to win the football game. And, you know, the thing that probably bothered me the most, and I shared this with our football team, was that, you know, and we talked about all week having a sense of urgency heading into that game. And, I thought, you know, especially after the week they had before, that we would be walking into a hornet's nest walking into that game. And I knew that. And obviously I don't think our guys shared that appreciation that I had going into that game, because we didn't play like that. And that was probably the most disappointing thing to me, that we didn't play with an edge. We didn't play with the physicality, with the focus that we needed to, and that needs to get fixed going forward. I don't really care at this point that Northwestern's lost. I don't even know what they've, you know, they've obviously have a little bit of a losing streak going. This is a good football team. It's a well coached football team. One that they know what they're doing. They're gonna stay with what they do. They're gonna do it. They're going to play good defense. They're going to play very similar to what we saw last week in a different way, maybe different personnels and that type of thing. But we're going to have our work cut out for us Saturday. And we need to fix us. We need to play at a higher level. You're going to see some new guys in some places. Still looking for the right combinations, the right communication, the right and it will, believe me, you're not looking at something that's going to be wholesale changes, but you're going to see some other guys, some guys that are going to get an opportunity. And we'll see how the week plays out and practice-wise, but we need to play better. We need to communicate better. We just need to, overall, we need to have a more efficiency in what we're doing in both sides of the football. So,
who are some of those new guys you're referring to, Bill?
Well, it, you know, depends on a little bit of what we're seeing personnel wise, but I think you're ultimately going to see a little bit more of Michael Rose, probably a little bit more of Banderas. Looking at Santos maybe playing, going back to his will spot. That's probably the area we're looking for the right combinations the most are, is at the linebacker spot.
What do you do at quarterback?
Right now, if we were going to play today, I mean, Taylor had a hip pointer in the game, didn't practice yesterday, and I don't know what he, right now, if we play today, you'd see Tommy would start with Ronnie filling in.
When you talk about Rose and Banderas, are you talking about Rose in the middle?
Possibly. Yes.
What about Banderas?
Same thing in the middle, yeah. Depends what personnel groupings we're getting.
Did you know Taylor was hurt during the game?
Well, he's been hurt for
a certain amount of weight. Oh yeah, but that hip pointer didn't affect him. I mean, he looked me in the eye and said, "I said, are you good to go? You can you go 100%? And are you you know, and he said yes, so.
Healthy enough.
Well, I mean, a hip pointer, there's a difference between a hip pointer the day of and being able to deal with it and kind of how it affects you over the next couple of days.
Hindsight being 2020, obviously. Do you still feel good about having played him? He said he wasn't 100% on Saturday. Do you still feel good about having played him? Do you still feel good about the plan that you guys had to throw the ball against their defense instead of running the ball against their front seven?
Well, you know, I thought, you know, the disappointing thing is I thought we had some things in the passing game we didn't take advantage of. We had a number of opportunities. And, you know, you have to, when somebody loads the box the way they did, plays the way they do, you got to be able to take advantage of it in the passing game. And we had opportunities that we didn't take advantage of. We had some drops. We had a couple underthrown balls. We had balls, you know, some opportunities that could have been some big plays that we missed. So I don't think there was anything wrong with the plan.
What about plan two? Do you feel like he was, as in hindsight, healthy to have done what he wanted to do?
Yeah, I do. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we communicated during the week, and I looked him in the eye, and I said, Taylor, are you ready, or can you perform everything we ask you to perform up to the level we expect you to perform it, meaning, and I said, it's okay to say no. And, you know, you found that opportunity. I mean, yeah, obviously it's an injury that, you know, I don't know how he's feeling, but if he looks me in the eye and says, yes, I'm ready to go, then, you know, at some point, well, you know, I felt we had to give him the opportunity to get back out there and play.
Does that bother you that he told you that he was 100%, but then he comes out after the game and says...
There's a difference, Eric, between being 100%, you know, or being 98 or 99 or whatever it is, but can you effectively go out and play and do what we ask you to do? Yeah, I think that's what he was saying. I mean, I don't think he was sitting there saying, I shouldn't have been playing or anything like that. I mean, we had numerous conversations during the week. And he got better as the week went on and felt better. So, you know, we can – it wasn't an issue. I don't think it would – I didn't see that his lack of, you know, being able to run or do anything. It didn't look like a guy that was gimping around out there. I mean, that wasn't our issue.
In watching film, did you notice any inability to plant the foot on the option?
No, because they were taking – you know, they – you know, we knew going in the way they were going to play the option. It was going to be a quick pitch anyway. And, you know what I mean? I mean, it was we were optioning their end, and they were taking the quarterback, so.
So is he doubtful this weekend? Is that?
Brian, it's hard to say.
Coach,
like I said, I'm not going to sit here and play this game all year long. It's, you know, like I said, Tommy was a starter yesterday, and that's going to wait. It's going to wait. It's going to be until further notice.
I want to clarify. You didn't think the injury hampered him or limited him?
No.
In terms
of... I'm not a doctor. I don't know. It's like something with his toes. I mean, I don't know the name for it, but no. No. I mean, you'd have to ask the doctors kind of what the name of that thing is. I don't know. All I know is he has a couple sprained toes.
At linebacker, what is it about Rose and Banderas that makes you want to shift them more in a bigger role?
Well, just something, you know, guys that I feel that, but our just overall our communication, our ability to adjust during the game, and you know that's an important spot where some you know where we have to make sure that we're able to take all the things that are happening around us, communicate, make sure get everybody on the same page. And I'm not saying that I'm not putting this on David Santos by any means. But I just think that maybe that's not his strength. And you know, it's like, you know, you don't want to, you know, from my standpoint and from our coach's standpoint, you don't want to take a square peg and try to pound it into a round hole. You know, let's figure out what the issues are and move forward and try to improve in some of those areas.
What did you see from your pass protection? You guys gave up more sacks on Saturday than you have all year. What were some of the issues that you saw?
Well, some of it was, a couple times we just got beat. But a couple times I think that, maybe we held on to the ball too long. And obviously it doesn't help in some situations when you're in long yardage situations and they feel like they can pin their ears back. It's a different deal. And I still say, kind of like what I was talking about after the game, the game becomes a lot easier, and it's a lot easier to be more efficient when you're having better success on first down. And that wasn't necessarily the case. When we stayed ahead of the sticks, we were pretty good the other day. When we took lost yardage plays and we got behind and in the count and kind of off track, then that's when you struggle. That's when drives stall. And I think it was pretty obvious.
What was the issue on first down that you saw on film?
A number of things. Like I said, it was like different guys taking their turn. And, it wasn't one area you can pinpoint. We just didn't execute very well. We had some plays. For instance, one that pops into my mind is we're driving down towards the end of the game and thought we had a really good play, felt we had a really good play called, and we totally busted. And we end up getting tackled for a loss on a play we kind of ran all week and thought it was there, and it would have been there. It was just, a couple plays, from my standpoint, from watching the game, pop into my head that, boy, we had the opportunity for some big plays and just didn't take advantage of it.
Defensively, first down was also a little bit of an issue. They had something like 250 yards of offense on first down. What is it about getting ready for that initial play?
Well, it's executing. I know you guys get sick of me saying that word, but it's we had our eyes in the wrong places. We played undisciplined at times. And we talk so much about having our eyes disciplined, focused enough to keep your eyes on your keys. And when they're not there, you're going to have issues. You're going to have some problems. And, that was an issue. It was an issue for us in the game. And we gave up some big plays that never should have happened. And be honest with you, there were a couple plays that should have been big plays that they missed. And, just because we were, some of it was, there were a couple new wrinkles here and there, but some of them were plays that we ran during the week. And you gotta get in a game. You can't lose, you can't lose your focus.
Question that is typically more for the offseason, but are there tangible differences with the program now, vulnerabilities, weaknesses, aside from just experience or personnel? I mean, are there things that you notice that are deficiencies now that weren't, three or four years ago when you guys were rolling along pretty well?
No, because if you look back, what I find, Dirk, is it's a deal you deal with year after year. Every group's a little bit different, but you really look back. It's a lot of it's a challenge every single year, every single week, and you got to have respect for this game, and at the end of the day, you have to be ready every single week because you can get humbled in a hurry, and. I hope I'm answering your question.
And I know you guys had some slips, in 2009, 2010, but it seemed like players responded to the message a little bit better back then.
No, I don't think that's the case. I think they respond, but it's, I told our guys yesterday, I said, you guys got to understand, the more experience you have, obviously, the easier it is to get through to them. But the level of focus and that you have to bring to the table every day to be good is it's up there. And you know, you might think you're prepared, but being able to do it down after down after down after down, and the amount of preparation, the amount of focus you have to bring to the field is, it's to play at a high level, it's there, especially in this day and age. You're getting a lot of, there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of offense out there, and you can't necessarily put them through every little thing that you're going to see on a Saturday. And because teams are you're going to get your new wrinkles. That's probably where, at least defensively, and in some respects offensively, that we struggle the most, is when somebody gives us something a little bit different than obviously what they've showed on film, our ability to understand what's happening and be able to take the adjustments and apply them. At times, our guys struggle with that. And that's just something that like I told our coaches, you got to get to the point where your guys aren't trying to memorize things, but truly understand what the concepts are. So when something happens that's a little bit different, they're able to react the right way. So does that make sense? I hope I'm answering your question, but.
You're talking about little things a lot, players here, players there, and all that.
I just believe that's always the same. It's always been the case as long as I'm coaching football. I've been coaching football. Success lies in the details, and you have to understand that. You have to apply it. And you have to live it. And and some of the things are just really having the discipline to do exactly what you're being asked to do and put your eyes on what you're supposed to do and do it exactly the way you're being asked to do it, and not resorting back when you get into a game or something goes wrong to something that's going to lead to you not having no chance to execute.
The roster is as good as it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, in some respects, it's better in some areas. I think, like I said, I think that we're maybe a little greener than we were a couple years ago, but I haven't changed in that I like the potential of this group. But at times we're our own worst enemy.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's press conference from Lincoln here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
So you've got a bunch of staff. You feel like they have to be able to communicate what you just said better to the players in terms of understanding the concepts versus memorizing?
No, because I know I'm sitting in the meeting rooms. I like the way they're being coached, and I believe in this staff. And I'll give you for instance. We had one possession during the game, one play during the game. It actually didn't hurt us. We actually made the play, but they came out and they were came out into a formation, and I think they called timeout. We told them exactly what was going to happen. Okay, this is what they came out in this. If they come out in that formation, they just showed this is what's going to happen. And for the most part, and looked them all in the eye and talked to them about what was about to happen. And they came out and did exactly what we said was going to happen. And we had two guys bust it. For whatever reason, we told him exactly what the reason, and we got away with it because it wasn't something that was a huge error. But had they done something a little bit different or gotten the back out, we would have had a problem. And it wasn't a big situation; it was a third down situation, and it was something that we actually ran during the week. So, like I said, it's kids. It's kids getting in the heat of the moment. They're kids. And you just got to keep working. I know it was something that we did. We understood. We understand. But being able to apply it at that moment, it's always a fight. It's a struggle every single day. That's why you just got to keep coaching them and coaching them and coaching them and stay the course. Because I've seen them. It's not like I haven't seen them do it the right way. I have seen them do it the right way. And, it's just something that you stay the course. you stay the course and keep teaching and keep teaching and keep teaching. And, you know, because that's what football is. It's however many plays you play, it's that many guys, 11 guys every single game having to make split-second decisions and being able to communicate, apply the rules, understand, and do the right things at the moment. And that's why you practice.
Facing on the same thing, and those little inconsistencies. What do you identify as the difference between Nebraska and Oregon or Ohio State or Missouri or Baylor, et cetera?
Well, it's all, you know, it's different guys playing against different offense. It's every group's a little bit different, you know, and every group's a little bit different. Trust me, Dirk, I'm not making any excuses. It's my job and our job to get it right. So trust me, I understand that. That's why I say, that's the first thing I say is I'm responsible for it. But I know this, you know, that if I panic or we panic, you have to stay the course. You have to stay the course. And at the end of the day, you know, we're gonna work our butt off to try and get it right. And you know, try to take each guy and get them better on a daily basis. That's what our job is.
With that said, is this your most hard to figure out team? I mean, is it your most confounding team, with the possible exception of your first year?
A little bit, because there's so many new pieces, especially on the defensive side. But trust me, when I've been around the game long enough to know what I knew what we were in for going in. And have I had some level of frustration at times? Absolutely. But like I said, I've learned over time you can't panic, and you have to stay the course. And I do believe in these kids and what they're going to be. And I want to fast forward to when we're hitting on all cylinders and as fast as I can. But I also know there's a process to get them there, and I'm going to stay the course to get them there.
You say you knew what you were in for going in. Is this kind of what you envisioned? What has happened so far? Ups and downs?
Yeah, I mean, I knew there were going to be some ups and downs. I think the do I wish we were ahead of where we are right now as far as our eye discipline, our focus, our overall knowledge of what we're trying to get done? Yeah, heck yeah, I do. And like I said, I want to fast forward this thing and get them where they're hitting on all cylinders. They're communicating, you know, everybody's executing at a high level, and we're not having a breakdown here, a breakdown there, and giving people things that I believe are ridiculous. But, you know, you know, what am I going to say? You know, I watched a film, and you get frustrated, but you just got to keep teaching, and you got to keep, you know, looking for guys and keep growing, keep getting each guy to grow, coach each guy, and keep bringing them along.
Let me ask one more way. I'm sorry. This is maybe a better way to ask it. You've been around. You've been part of some of the best college teams of the last decade. I mean, Oklahoma, you know, LSU, yeah, national championships, you know, that Nebraska defenses. You know, going back to the NFL with the 49ers. What's the biggest difference between this team and the way that those teams play and compete?
The way they played and competed. I've said this, and I don't know whether I think there's more offense out there to deal with, the play that you're playing against, and you know that I found it to be the case a little bit over the years is guys don't have the natural football instincts that, you know, the football I would say, common sense coming in that they used to, maybe. And, you know, things that you would think that are second nature aren't necessarily second nature to them anymore. Why that is, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
And to be able to play against these types of offenses that have a lot more facets to them, that, you know, you have to have a global, a little bit more of a global view of what's going on. And I think the younger you are, the more you're going to struggle with it, unless you, you know, you kind of, you know, have a true understanding of what's going on. Does that answer your question, Darrell?
Stack up Saturday in terms of overall talent.
Last Saturday?
Yeah, Nebraska.
I don't know. I thought we had more speed than Minnesota did.
Go ahead.
You said in August that you expected your young defense to play, you know, pretty high caliber right out of the gate.
And I still do.
Yeah, but now you're saying that sometimes young guys are struggling with what they're seeing. I guess, can you kind of explain that? I mean, so they're not meeting your expectations then as far as what you thought they'd do?
Not yet. And I'm not meeting my expectations. Let's put it at that.
Minnesota clearly studied last year's Big Ten title game when they put together their offensive game plan. Why does the defense struggle with misdirection and jet sweeps?
Well, we weren't in the right spot. That was a much different offense than what they were doing, a lot different than what Wisconsin did. You saw, like, late in the game when what's that?
How so?
What do you mean, how so?
How was it?
We've seen jet sweep this year. And we've played it pretty well. And we've done really well, actually, against it for the most part for the year. And but we were out of position. And like I said, in one respect, they gave it to us out of a formation that they hadn't done before. And we weren't able to apply our rules. And before, you know, once we got it corrected on the sideline and showed it to them and explained it to them, that, you know, like, we hit it in the backfield, you know, and like I said, that's one of those things of what I said, what I was talking about. When they jet sweep and everybody has a responsibility, you have one guy out of position or one guy not doing exactly what he needs to do, you're going to struggle. Yeah, and in that case, it was an understanding of what they were doing. You make a check in a certain defense, and it doesn't. It was a gapped out defense. We had one guy that was playing on the wrong side of the block, and we had a guy coming and meeting it in the backfield. He was getting blocked, and in the next gap, our guy we ended up with two guys in the same gap. Does that make sense?
Yesterday at practice, did you get a sense or a tone or the pulse of the team right now? Obviously, they're down, but...
I think our guys, yeah, obviously they're down. But I think that they're... I like the way they came out yesterday. We padded up yesterday. We got some good fundamental work in. We gave an introduction to Northwestern, and I think if the guys could have played last night, they would have played last night. And they were... I liked the way they responded yesterday.
Can you talk more about Northwestern and just some of the struggles they've gone through this year and kind of where they're at right now?
Well, you know, they've lost some tough games. They've been in it, you know, other than probably the Wisconsin game where they didn't play very well. I kind of watched it each side separately. I didn't watch kind of how the whole game went, but, for the most part, they've been right there. And, it's a play here, a play there. I'm sure that if you talk to Pat, he would say some of the same things I'm saying that he's frustrated with. But, at the end of the day, they've had their opportunities to win some games. And they've been right there, and things haven't gone their way. And, you look at the Ohio State game. They were right there and fumbled the ball, right there at the end when they're going in. And So you see what this football team's capable of.
Are you familiar with all the heat you guys took on social media after that game?
I've heard something about it, but... No, they don't need to be. I tell them all the time. I said, let's face it. The greatest thing about our fans is they're passionate. They're passionate. And, the 99% of our fans are great. They're positive. You have to qualify the somebody who's going to get into it with a player on social media. What I do is I urge them, don't read it. Don't get into it and don't go there. You try and educate them and tell them not to do that because you don't need to be reacting to the 1%. And at the end of the day, there's a reason why we have 15, 20,000, 25,000 people who go with us on the road. It's a great fan base, and 99% of them, I believe, are very positive. I mean, there were two gentlemen. My son was on the trip, and there were two gentlemen that were outside of our bus after the game and were, I came out. I was the last one to come out to get on the bus, but there were two guys that were there that were cheering our guys, were encouraging them, and my son looked at me and he said, "Dad, those are two great fans." And I said, "You know what, Patrick? That's the 99%. And I said, because I always try to educate him. Hey, Patrick, you're going to hear people say things about your dad and about these players that he idolizes. And I said, don't go there. I said, because that isn't the majority. The majority are very supportive. They want to win. They're passionate. And I said, don't react to the 1% because that's what it is. I try to educate our players on that.
Well, those guys being the age that they are,
it's hard.
Do you worry about it? Take it out to the farthest extent.
We're staying with Bo Pelini's press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Keep it here. We'll have a post press conference reaction, but more coach.
We live in a day and age where it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to ignore it, and you got to be. There's a reason why I encourage our players, don't shield yourself from that. At the end of the day, I just believe you got to try to control what you control, watch the film, and you have an understanding from within exactly what's going on, where we are, what needs to get fixed, and if you get outside of that and you start concentrating on things that aren't in your control, you can have issues. And it is, and I believe you just look across sports and you look at, a USA Today where they have a tweet of the day and all the different things that are going on. It's hard to get away from it. And you have to work hard to stay away from it. You have to discipline yourself to stay away from it because it's out there. And it's a distraction. It's noise. It's outside noise that you want to try to control.
What lesson did you impart to them when you had to go through a padded practice yesterday?
Well, I wanted to do some fundamental work. I wanted to catch their attention. I just, at the end of the day, that's what I thought was best for our football team. Absolutely. Yeah, there were some times. It's kind of like what I was talking about, kind of with the 99% to 1%. For the most part, there were a lot of times that we were physical, but you have to be physical all the time. You can't pick and choose. You can't have plays because there were some times that it hurt us. And it was a guy here, a guy there, a breakdown here, where, and that's not to the standard that I want these guys to live by. And at the end of the day, it falls right here.
So you were talking about blocking out that criticism, that noise. When you've had a really bad week, a really bad game, who do you vent to? Who do you call? Are there people, is there a person that you always...
You know what, Dirk? I as much as I try not to take it home with me. Probably to my wife and my family's dismay, I probably get very quiet, and I just need some time by myself. You know, I don't want to take it out. It's, you know, it's obviously it's nobody's fault, but it is for me. It is gut wrenching. It's really hard to deal with. You know, I don't, because at the end of the day, you know, I what I do is I look for solutions, and I think about it. I try not to, you know, I take the emotion out of it and look at it in a black and white manner, and you know, kind of a real of this is where we are. Okay, let's go. Well, this is what we have to do to keep going and keep looking for ways to make us better. And you know, I've always felt, you know, number one, I just don't believe in, you know, if I have a question on how to handle maybe a certain situation, you know, I have guys I could call and lean towards, but I'm not somebody who goes and looks for, so you know, to vent or complain or do anything else. It is what it is, and I'm responsible for it. So, you know, be a man up, and like I tell our players and our coaches, man up and take control of it. And the only way you can do is, all you can do is keep working and get better. Roll up your sleeves and go to work. And that's all you can do.
Excuse me?
Jamal Turner?
Jamal did not practice yesterday. He has a lower calf injury. And I would say, Sam, he's probably day-to-day.
Jake Long?
Same thing. He ran out on the field yesterday, and same thing. It just you know, he has a hamstring injury. It's day to day.
Obviously, you never go to the team prepared for that. What do you do with the offense now? What does Tim do? What is your? I know that you advised him after UCLA game to simplify things. What do you guys do now? You're going to be facing better defenses going forward.
Execute at a higher level and with more consistency. We need to be, you know, I said going into the year, I said when you know, efficiency was the key offensively. And, you know, and I still believe that's the key. And, you know, there are some things that we didn't take advantage of in the game. And, you know, we left a lot of things out there. And to a certain extent, you know, we've gone through, we did that a couple other times during the year. And more so than not just UCLA, but a couple of the other games, if you guys remember, that you have to take what the defense has given you. You got to get into the right plays and you know, execute at a high level. That's what offensive football is. And probably the most disappointing thing is we had a chances for some big plays. And those are the advantages, you know, those are the things you got to be able to take care of. But, and obviously the big plays will come, but, you know, first and foremost, we got to have more success on first down. We're a lot better offense, and your options increase when you're ahead in the sticks.
You talk speaking about the defense, just in terms of the mental side, I mean, understanding concepts and applying it. Is there a way that sort of, because they were a little hesitant on the field Saturday. You mentioned they got out physical. Is there a way to sort of bring that sort of physical edge despite not being...
The mental side of things brings the physical side of things. And I'll give you an example. When you get your read and you're... And this is just an example, and I don't know whether, you know, this is kind of layman's terms, but if you get your read and you're going your gap and you don't take your attention to the block and to your gap and you're staring in the backfield, it makes you look hesitant because you know a puller's coming around or you know a fullback or a lineman is coming to block you, but if you're not looking at them, you're going to look non-physical. If you're staring at the ball rather than getting your hands on and taking on a block and taking your eyes to that block, it'd be like getting in a fist fight and not looking at the guy you're fighting. You're gonna catch. You're gonna take it. You're gonna take the brunt of the blow instead of getting up on a block and delivering a blow. That happens way too much with us right now. And that's you can have toughness, but you have to have the discipline to go ahead and take your attention to the block and that enables you to be in an attacking mode rather than a catching mode. And that happens with us way too much. That's why I talk a lot about eye discipline and because if you're staring and it's going to make you look hesitant. And that happens to us way too much. We get in the right spot and we're looking to make the tackle instead of taking on that block first. You better take on the block, then you'll be in the position to make the tackle. And that's happened to us a lot. Why? Bad habits, Tom. And, and to a certain extent, you might be able to get away with that at the high school level or at a junior college level, whatever it may be. When you get at this level and you're talking about the size and physicality of guys, you better be ready to get up on blocks. You might even be able to get away with it with the scouts. But when you get into a game, and like I told our guys, and like I said, at the end of the day, like I told our coaches and I tell myself, you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. But and right now we're allowing it to happen. But at the end of the day, I told our guys, I said, you better take heed to what we're asking you to do and do it exactly the way we're asking you to do it. Because, Dirk kind of asked that question. The success is in the details, and there's a reason why we're asking you to do it this way. And unfortunately, sometimes you need to get humbled to say, okay, that's why they're telling me to do it that way. And that's a little bit of the frustration aspect of it.
Have you ever considered changing not what you're saying, but how you're presenting this information to your guys? To hopefully it'll sink in and that light bulb will go off like you're hoping.
There's a lot of different ways to present the information, and we try to do. There are some guys that are learned by seeing it. Some guys got to do it. Some guys need a combination of both. Like I said, it's an everyday grind. You got to keep grinding it out and keep looking for those buttons to push. That's what we do. That's what you do as a coach. And it's teaching, and you got to keep looking and exploring. And let's face it, every guy's a little bit different. Every guy learns a different way, and every guy, it's teaching. Any guys, anybody that's taught or coached, you understand that's a process we go through, and that's why that's why practice is so important, and it's why you got to continue to stay the course.
Well, you've said a lot that you recognize the problems, you see the problems on tape, and it's maybe executing the fixes that's the disconnect there. If that's the case, how close do you believe that this team or this program is to the nation's elite, the Oregons, the Alabamas, the Florida State, et cetera?
Well, I've said it, and I believe it. I don't think there's a whole heck of a lot of difference between the teams that are in the top 5, 10, and a lot of the other teams. I think that, you got to look at the talent level in some cases, but, it's hard to judge. I do know this, that for the most part, you just look across the country and for the most part, when you start getting into league play and you start getting into, interconference matchups, that type of thing, there's not a lot of difference. There's not a lot of separation, and you're going to get challenged pretty much every week. And I believe that. Then you have to be prepared for that. And, we play a deal. All I can control is, all I can deal with is the teams that are on our schedule. And I know for the next 5 weeks, we're going to get challenged, and it's going to be a go that we got to be ready, and we got to keep improving and work our butts off to get better. to meet the challenges that lie ahead. And you know, and I just think that you just look across college football, and pretty much that's usually the case.
Do you feel like you're closer to turning the corner, or do weeks like Minnesota 2 years ago against Northwestern, stuff like that, does that sort of maybe bring the program back down?
No, I don't think it brings. I don't think where the state of our program isn't any different today than it was a week ago. And you know, you do. I want to win. Until we win them all, I'm not going to be satisfied. That's what we're looking to do. And that's what we're working towards. And that's not, that standard isn't going to change. That's what the expectation is, and that's what the expectation should be in a place like this.
Thank you.
Thanks.